When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday in the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We appreciate you stopping by and hanging out with us as we get ready. Of course, holiday tomorrow, 4th of July. A lot of celebrating going to happen. Also, a ton of Major League Baseball. We have no early games here today, which means we got a full card tonight on tap. Why? Well, we're going to have a few day games tomorrow. So no doubt while you're getting ready to barbecue and hang out with friends and family, there will be a game or two on right through tomorrow night. So Major League Baseball is going to be our focus here today with a loaded card here. And it's going to kick off here in just about 25 minutes or so as the Red Sox will look to make it two in a row against the Marlins coming up this hour, and the Guardians in taking on Eric Fetty and Washington and the White Sox, rather, who had maybe one of the most white flag give up losses I have seen in Major League Baseball in a very, very long time there yesterday when Kopech came into the game, threw the ball 32 feet, right, just way before, about halfway between home plate and the pitcher's mound. He somehow managed to throw the ball directly into the ground and nobody could catch it, of course, putting the go-ahead run at third base. And a shallow fly ball and absolutely no throw from the center fielder, who pretty much just gave up on the entire situation and figured, yeah, it's not even worth trying to get this guy out. And they walked it off. And my goodness, the White Sox are going quickly from bad to worse. Just when you thought they might have turned a corner, it is never good in early July to watch teams and to watch players pretty much mail it in. Unreal. And also, again, Williams on the mound for the Guardians, so he is off the IL. That's great news for the Guardians, who are quietly now very much in this thing. So this is a game I am going to be keeping an eye on here tonight with you, because I want to see what Williams brings to the table. He hasn't pitched in a while, just off the IL. But boy, oh boy, that'll be great news for the Guardians if they can keep him healthy the rest of the way through. You are also going to have in the 6 o'clock hour coming up the Cardinals and the Pirates. Miles Mikolas taking on Jones here, and the Cardinals and Pirates, no doubt, at PNC. Should be interesting. Mikolas coming off a rough outing last time out, but he has been nothing short of phenomenal for the Cardinals here. Really, he's always been a slow starter to when the season starts, but he usually ramps it up right around May and June into the summertime, and they're going to need him if they are going to right this ship here, the Cardinals, and actually make a run at the Brewers at the top of the National League Central. The Mets also looking to make, it would be great if the Mets could take what they do in the 10th inning and kind of do that during the game. I think a lot of Met fans and Met bettors would be much happier instead of having to wait for them to get to extra innings and then go ahead and score combined now in the last couple of days here in the 10th inning. The Mets have now scored 11 runs. Why they don't score them before extra innings is a little head scratching, but Parker going on for the Nats, who are trying very much to win at least one game against the Mets. They have not beaten them yet this season, and the Nats would very much, with Parker on the mound, would love to get one back here at home. And they are a home dog, which also makes it interesting. Don't even get me started about the Reds and Yankees. That is coming up at the 7 o'clock hour, but no doubt Carlos Rodon has been much better at Yankee Stadium than he's been on the road. However, it has been a rough last couple of weeks here for Carlos Rodon and the Yankees. Abbott is going to go for the Reds here tonight. 8.5 is that total, hovering around pretty much what it was yesterday, and the Yankees were able to get that one to go up and over with an Aaron Judge solo home run late in that matchup. But 8.5 is what we're getting here tonight. And I think we can all say, listen, if we get the Carlos Rodon of the early part of the season at Yankee Stadium, the Reds don't stand a chance. If we don't get that version and we get the version of what we've seen over the last 2 to 3 weeks, the Reds are going to laugh their way to victory here tonight. So big spot for the Yankees to get one back in a bounce back effort against the Cincinnati Reds here. And then, of course, we'll have Astros, Blue Jays, and the Astros looking to bounce back after Toronto finally ended up winning a game there. I think that one has got overwritten all over it. But when you've got Blanco on the mound, and don't forget, Blanco was the guy that actually no-hit Toronto early in the season. And I'm sure Toronto remembers that. Blanco coming off a pretty rough outing also against against the Mets. So he would like to get back on track here against his Toronto team. And he certainly seems very well prepared for this lineup. Didn't have a problem shutting him out and no hitting him the last time out early in the season. We'll see how he goes tonight. We also learned today that we are going to be getting, more LeBron James in L.A. I don't know if you guys heard this, but LeBron has, in fact, signed an extension, which is fantastic. This coming off the heels of LeBron's son, Bronny, as a 55th draft pick there in this year's draft, signing somehow a guaranteed four-year contract that's going to net them, it's going to net the kids somewhere around $80 million. Kind of hard to believe when you think about it. How many 55th pick in the NBA draft have we ever seen get guaranteed money in contracts for 4 years on teams? I bet we would have a hard time finding one. Mostly guys that are drafted after the 50th pick in the NBA are lucky to get a ham sandwich and a uniform and then are shipped off to the G League. But not Bronny. Nope, not Bronny. And now Dad, well, he's going to go ahead and he's going to be around for at least another couple of the years with a player option, as well as they locked him up. And you've got to scratch your head and go with this Lakers team and Rob Pelinka and company here. Jeannie Buss, what are you doing at this point? You basically given the entire franchise and the reins over to a player, an aging player at that. And although one of the greatest, I don't know what the hell that has to do with burying your franchise for the next decade or so, because these moves are suspicious at the least. But that's what they got. And their new head coach, by the way, J.J. Redick, the podcast partner of LeBron. You see where we're going with this? Yeah, he too. Is new on the scene in L.A. So not only did they sign a 55th draft pick to a unbelievable $80 million four-year guaranteed deal, we also now have a brand new head coach who's never been affiliated with the Lakers, has never been on the sideline, but he is apparently bringing on some guys that have some knowledge, some former head coaches are going to be on the sideline for him now, which is great. But I did also read here today that they had to make a few phone calls. It wasn't that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Guys were running to sign up and be bench coaches and assistants under J.J. Redick, first-time head coach, which is Dwayne Casey comes to mind. And I believe ESPN promoted the fact that Dwayne Casey pretty much hung up the phone and was like, yeah, no, I'm good. No, thanks. I'll wait for another opportunity. And I think that's going to be a theme with the Lakers moving forward. We'll have more on that when Game Time Decisions continues on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions. Breaking news, Patrick Ewing now signed with the... No, I'm only kidding here. Happy Wednesday to you. We've got plenty of Major League Baseball. Let me actually just clarify from last segment here. It was $8 million for Bronny, not $80 million. The $80 million was tied to the number that they offered Klay Thompson to come and be a Laker. And Klay Thompson's like, yeah, no, I'll take less money and I'll go to the Dallas Mavericks. So there seem to be a number of people, both in the coaching ranks and the player ranks, that want nothing to do with the Los Angeles Lakers. And this drama will continue, no doubt, over the summer until we get ready, of course, to get a little bit closer to the season starting in September, October, and November. Should be an awful lot of fun. There is no better drama than what the Lakers dish up for us. But in the meantime, we got plenty of Major League Baseball games getting ready to kick off here as we welcome in our good friend George Kurtz, no doubt getting ready to spice up that chalk of his and maybe mix in a dog or two here tonight. And that's going to happen, but no better favorite and chalk to look at than anybody playing the Marlins here, Kurtz. And it looks like the Red Sox will have an opportunity to get another one from them here in about 10 minutes or so. Are you buying the Red Sox with Bello on the mound against the old fade Trevor Rogers here?
Yeah, I'm going with the Red Sox tonight. It hurts as a Yankee fan to say that, but you said it better. Bello versus Trevor Rogers. Rogers has not been, the Miami team has not been good. So I'm not like we're breaking any news here. But I think Boston, they won 8-3 last night, I believe. I think we're going to see another similar score tonight, although I'm not taking the over, not yet anyway. Minus 122 is a little juice for me at 7.5, although I do like that as well. So give me the Sox. And I imagine by the time game, what time is that game? 6:40? 25 minutes. Yes. I imagine by the time it starts, I'll probably be on the over as well.
So we had, it was funny watching that game last night with the White Sox and the Guardians. White Sox come back, Guardians come back and tie it. We're in July, Gertz, and I'm watching a center fielder not throw the ball on a shallow tag up to end the game. And it just looked like that is not a good sign if you are the White Sox. It looks like half that team has already packed it in, and we're not even into August, which is a shame. But they do have the one guy that has been worth betting. That's Fetty on the mound here tonight. And I believe Williams finally his first start off the IL for the Guardians. This would be great news for the Guardians if he can stay healthy here and get himself ready for a playoff push. But are you leaning one way or the other in this one?
Well, we're always leaning with the Guardians, anybody over the White Sox, right? I do think it's going to be a lower scoring game. Now, Williams is somewhat of a wild card, right? Because maybe he only goes 4 or 5 innings in his first start. But do we really mind that? Cleveland's bullpen's good. I'm not worried about that at all if Williams doesn't, if he only throws, 4 to 5 innings here. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll keep the Sox in check. So I have no problem. You want to take Cleveland as well here, but I'm going on the under in this game. It's 8.5. I don't think we're going to see a ton of runs scored here. I think Williams will be good. He'll certainly be better than what Tristan McKenzie was, right? That's who he replaced.
Rotation.
They sent him down there. So, and you said it, by the way, if Williams cannot beat that pitcher he was last year, now I wouldn't call him an ace, but he was a good 2-3 guy. Just more ammunition for the Guardians here. So, yeah, give me the under in this game. I like Cleveland as well, but I didn't bet it.
Yeah, no, it's kind of hard. I mean, that told you everything last night, what you need to know about the state of the Chicago White Sox right now. That was ugly on so many levels there. We do have game two also and a nice set coming up between Pittsburgh and St. Louis, a little National League Central rivalry here. Mikolas on the mound got lit up last time out. I mean, there was just no way around it. I think it was, 10 runs he gave up, 12 hits, 4 1/3 innings. It was an 11-4 loss against Cincinnati. Wasn't good here, but he's been fairly steady prior to that. So does he bounce back here with the Cards tonight against Pittsburgh?
To a degree, I think he does bounce back. That's another game. It's hard for me to take unders here, but I'm going under again. St. Louis and Pittsburgh both play to the under. They don't score a lot of runs, so I think it's going to be that way once again here. I don't think Mikolas is going to pitch great. He's not going to go 9-8 complete game or anything like that, but he won't get shellacked either. Pittsburgh doesn't have that kind of an offense here. So it's another game, back-to-back games. I'm taking the under on the early slate.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jared Jones. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's still young there, but this feels like a pretty important series for the Cardinals if we're going to take them seriously heading into the All-Star break. I think they need to keep winning here over the next week, Kurtz, and then somebody's got to chase Milwaukee because otherwise they're just going to be handing the division to them, and that's a head-scratcher. Does the Nationals finally bounce back with Parker on the mound against the Mets? They can't seem to beat the Mets. And the Mets only seem to score in the 10th inning. Something's got to give here with the Nats. What are we doing with them, Kurtz?
I mean, Parker versus Scott. I mean, I kind of like Christian Scott, right? He was a rookie called up, pitched pretty well, was sent back down for a couple of reasons. Not really for a poor performance, more because of roster manipulation there, and they weren't going to really need a fifth starter all that much. He's back. I assume he'll pitch well. All right, so I'm going to take the Mets again. You said the Nats don't seem to be able to beat the Mets for whatever reason. Mets are finding ways to win, especially against lesser teams, right? The bullpen is still an issue. Got a little bit of a break last night. They'll hope to get it again tonight. I am not – this is going to be another one where I'm going to go in game as far as whether I'm going to go hit that over again. But last night we didn't get – I got what I wanted. The first couple of innings were pretty much scoreless here, so the over-under came down, but we still didn't get our over. We missed by a couple of runs there. So I'm probably going to go back to that well tonight. Hope the first couple of innings are, one run, two run. We get a better number on the over, maybe get it down to 8 and then hit it, assuming the bullpens will get crushed once again.
Yeah, game number 3 here of a 4-game set. Mets trying to win this one tonight and take the series. They did call him up, I believe, from AAA Syracuse to throw some pitches here. I mean, that bullpen has been going through it. They've been asked a lot here. No Diaz. Is he back by the weekend, by the way? How long was his suspension for? Had to be, 10 games?
It was 10, so it's 2, 5, 7. I think he's back this weekend. I think it's
back he's been this weekend.
Right, he's out today, tomorrow, and he should be back Saturday, I believe.
Saturday. I think he'll be back there, minus the sticky stuff there, of course.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
But those arms have been getting worked there in the bullpen. So they call him up. Let's see what he's got here tonight. We got plenty more games on tap. We'll take a look at as Game Time Decisions continues here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside George Kurtz as we've got plenty of Major League Baseball coming up. All night games here today, George. A little different on a Wednesday. We usually have a whole bunch of getaway games, but we'll have plenty of afternoon baseball tomorrow on the 4th of July. Great card and a great card here tonight. We'll start with the 7 o'clock hour. And then Yankees, Kurtz, the Yankees lost last night again, 5-4. They tried. They made a good run at it, but... De La Cruz just absolutely smacked him last night. I don't know what you can do with this guy, by the way. It just feels like if you let him on first, he's going to be on third. And that's just the way it's going to be. I saw him run around the bases and got that triple last night, George. I was like, wait a minute. He was just at first base. How did he end up on third base? The kid is a phenom. And I don't know. What Rodon do we get tonight here? Because I think that tells us how we're playing this game.
Well, that's not the only thing that tells us how we're playing this game, but you're right. Rodon has been a train wreck lately, right? He's gotten absolutely wrecked at least his last three starts, maybe his last four starts. I don't know if that's going to change tonight. I don't see any reason why it would. But then again, I don't know why this started all of a sudden. He's been saying that his fastball is getting lit up. I guess it's not moving. So I'm assuming he will throw secondary pitches more tonight. You know, try people to get the batters off that fastball, but he's got to throw them for strikes. If he's not throwing for strikes, it don't matter. They'll just wait for the fastball here. Also, the problem with the Yankees is there's a left-hander on the mound tonight for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They have it. Yankees don't hit left-handers. Now, their record against left-handers is very poor this year. So, other than the fact that they're at home and the Reds aren't the greatest team, I don't really have any reason to take the Yankees tonight. I'm on the Reds. You know, Rodon's been terrible, and the Yankees don't hit left-handers. It seems to be a recipe for the Reds to win the first two games of the series tonight, which does hurt. But give me the Reds and a higher scoring game. I do think we'll get some runs tonight, though. I'll take that over 8.5.
Yeah, I like the over last night, too. And I was like, the Yankees are just going to they're gonna screw us here because they're not going to be able to get enough runs. I mean, it was 5-0 before you even blinked. And the Yankees finally with Judge, who hit his 32nd homer, had three hits. What I think he's hitting 320 now, 321, something along those lines. Thank goodness for him, because nobody. Yeah. I mean, what was Soto and I believe Soto, Volpe and Verdugo, a crisp 0-for-11 last night. That was sweet. But they still got the over anyway. How many home runs does he hit, by the way? He's got 32 now.
32.
Does he
32.
Make an? So where does he land, you think, this year?
I think he sets the record again. I think as long as he stays.
Really?
Up, yeah. He's well on pace. Remember, he took April off. He didn't do anything in April.
That's a good, yeah.
Right? It's been May and June where he's been colossal here. I think the only way he doesn't reset the record is A, if he gets hurt, obviously, and B, if teams go, go to first.
Why they won't pitch, though.
It's beyond me. And you already made the joke Verdugo. Verdugo, Torres, J.D. Davis. Nobody can hit behind him. Yeah. Why is anybody pitching to him? Why? I don't understand it.
It's amazing.
I just don't get it. That'd be the only way I think he doesn't set the record, Joe. Right now, if you're looking at him on pace, For a full season, he's on pace for 60. Compared to his pace in 22, he's on pace to hit 62, 63 again. So it depends on which way you want to go here. But I just remember he took April off. And you count what he's done in May and June, he's going to he's gonna crush this record.
Yeah, I love that he's going to break it. And I think you're right. The big question is, you know, how many games? And they may very well have to, you know, the games late in the season, when it comes, push comes to shove, they might not have a choice. They might be playing for their playoff lives here at this point, George, which is kind of crazy to think. Another MVP, would he be worth banking for you? MVP already at this? Got to be the MVP in the first half, no?
I think he is, although Henderson and Witt are really good players. I mean, they're right there. But if he hits 60 again, no American League player has ever done that. He doesn't need to set the record. If he just hits 60, he'll get it, right? Because he's setting a record that just is not done. If he hits 58 and Henderson and Witt keep playing like they are, sure, I can see him not getting the MVP. You know, because Henderson's having a magnificent season. If he keeps it up, absolutely. Witt, and if Witt gets Kansas City to the playoffs, by the way, that would be a big thing
that
as
could
well.
Be too.
You know, right now, I would put it as Judge, Henderson, Witt.
I it's like, to me, I don't even think it's – if he hits 320 and hits 50, 60 home runs, like, what else has he got? It's going to be – yes, that's a very good point. Right? And if that happens, forget about it. Just carve the name, call it after him. Exactly. Won't make a difference anywhere. All right, George Kurtz, as always here, my man, plenty of baseball over the next couple of days here. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. Don't blow anything up on that patio of yours. Game Time Decisions will continue next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. We welcome in our good friend Sam Chattery joining us here from FTN. And Sam, you're a basketball guy, and I got I got some thoughts on the NBA free agency period here. They have done a really good job of becoming a 12-month out of the year headline, which is, and kudos to them, because usually the NBA, you know, out of sight, out of mind, but not these last couple of years. We learned today LeBron did sign an extension, right? Couple of more years. His kid gets a guaranteed $8 million over 4 years. I don't know how that happens either. But I thought the coaching hires today were interesting as well. I also thought Dwayne Casey turning down the opportunity to be on that bench also says a lot. What do you see happening here? Because this feels like this could be absolutely off the rails by the time we get to the end of December.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I think it's really just what we've seen with LeBron since he's joined LA. You know, it's really just him calling the shots. You know, he got JJ Redick, and you hear all this stuff about, you know, JJ, LeBron, they had no ties in the hiring. They didn't know it was going down. But, I mean, these guys are doing a podcast together. And I'm not, you know, I'm not against JJ. You know, of course, obviously, like, he's never coached in the NBA. You know, it's whatever. Like, we know these teams with LeBron. I'm from Ohio, so, you know, I've been associated with LeBron for a while, even with Cleveland. You know, when you have LeBron, it's just, it's him as the GM, it's him as the coach. You know, we can put the names on, we can have a scapegoat or whatever, which I don't know. I don't know if JJ Redick is going to be that scapegoat, but it's just how it is with LeBron. And I'm sure we all saw the extension coming even before they drafted his kid, but it'll be interesting. In the West, I mean, it's always been tough, but it's already gotten a lot tougher early in the offseason, so we'll see. I mean, does LeBron still have it is a question. I don't know how much changes from last year with just, you know, swapping in JJ Redick, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, don't forget, Hurley turned him down. Casey's turned him down. Klay Thompson could have got $80 million, and he's like, nope, I'll take less money and go to Dallas. I'm good to go there. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this unfolds. But it's crazy when you think about it. The new collective bargaining, it's changed the game, and we're seeing that. It feels like every real contender got better in the West during this free agency period, except Denver. Am I crazy? I mean, you lose KCP. What? How did they get better, if at all, do you think?
No, not at all. I mean, unless I missed something, that's all it was. They just got rid of KCP and really haven't added anything much to that team. And we just saw them get bounced by Minnesota. Minnesota hasn't really made any drastic changes to their roster as well. But, you know, the team that really stands out to me, and it's baked into their price, we saw them move up. But OKC, I really love what OKC is doing. And I think they're still going to make a huge splash. You know, they have the most cap in free agency. And, you know, just adding a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein, I think that's going to be huge just to go along with Chet. And, I mean, this team, we saw the potential. I know it was disappointing what happened with the series in Dallas, but I mean, I personally still think OKC is a much better team than Dallas. I think they're going to be rejuvenated this offseason, let alone swapping out Giddey, who was a complete non-factor in the postseason. I mean, they just couldn't play him in the postseason just because he was such a liability on defense. What better guy can you have than slotting in Alex Caruso? I really don't understand how this organization pulls off some of these deals, you know. Josh Giddey for Caruso, straight up, no picks attached. I mean, that was just an incredible move by OKC. It's a young team. We expect this team, regardless of the assets they add, just to improve season after season. I think Shea's going to continue to get better. I think he's going to continue to be in that MVP race. So, OKC, I mean, I just want to buy all the stock in OKC. We did see their odds move a little bit. You know, I'd say somewhat significantly just for adding Caruso and Hartenstein, but for good reason. I still think it's a price that's worth buying into it because, like I said, I think they still do have room to make a big splash. And I think they're just going to go all in this upcoming season.
Well, speaking of Ohio there, Sam, Cleveland signs Mitchell, and nobody really knew that was going to happen. Not was it this just a pit stop for him? But now all of a sudden the Cavs, they got their centerpiece. Does Garland stay? Are they going to be a what? I mean, we got a new head coach, right? And Kenny Atkinson. Is this team going to take that next step, you think?
I mean, I was somewhat optimistic sort of last year, you know, midseason. But it's just really tough to see. You look at it, you know, you can almost break it up into tiers. I would say Boston is probably just in the tier A all by themselves. I would say the Philly Knicks, Milwaukee, it's tough. I almost want to put Philly in sort of in their own tier, and then the Knicks and the Bucks in a tier below that. And then that's after those teams are off the board, that's when you can really consider Cleveland. So as much as I do like this team, I love watching Cleveland team Cleveland games. I mean, it's just such a fun team to root for. Just with Garland was pretty disappointing. Yeah, I am happy that Mitchell did get locked up. I mean, it was sort of an interesting storyline, I feel like, that just sort of popped up. I thought mid-season it was sort of assumed that Mitchell was just going to re-sign an extension and stay in Cleveland. But then you got all this, all these rumors that do they want to keep Garland and let Mitchell walk? Do they want to keep Mitchell? But I think for the most part, they're just going to roll it as is this upcoming season. I think we've seen Mitchell and Garland back in there. But like I said, I think I want to put all those teams in the clear tiers ahead of Cleveland. And that's when you can really start considering them. So as much as I do like them, I don't think they're going to be much better than just a middle-of-the-pack playoff team in the East, maybe a first-round exit. It hurts to say, but, I mean, the East just looks loaded this season.
Well, I think it was only Boston last year, right? And then everyone in the East was either hurt. They were the only one who stayed healthy in the East, really. So that's ultimately what happened to them at the end. But now it feels like now that the West has been loading up and you go down the list, you mentioned it, there is going to be three very top heavy in the West. And now all of a sudden you said Philadelphia just under Boston here. So you think Paul George, really, he's that kind of difference maker for this team?
Yeah, I thought throughout most of the season, I really thought it was, again, Boston was just sort of in a tier of their own. I did think that Philly played well enough that I thought if they got into a series that maybe they could push it to a 6 to 7 game series. And really, that's all they were missing was just that third elite score. We saw sort of with Harden, you know, it didn't really work. That's just how it's been throughout Harden's career. You know, it's just the chemistry, it's always kind of off, especially in the playoffs. But now you got a guy like Maxey. I think we'll see Maxey's production go down, definitely. But I think just to compliment Maxie, and I think Embiid is still going to get his. I mean, remember, before Embiid went down, he was clearing away the MVP favorite. I mean, there was no one in the NBA playing at Joel Embiid's level. That's really all it is. I think if this team stays healthy, they can definitely compete with Boston in the East. That's why I really just want to put them in a tier of the tier in their own. Because I think Paul George is just a perfect third option. Because like I said, it didn't really work out with Harden, but PG isn't someone that really needs to be ball dominant. I mean, he played great playing alongside Kawhi Leonard and James Harden, or two really ball dominant guys. You can still let Tyrese Maxey control the offense. Like I said, I think Joel Embiid still gets his in the paint, but just having PG, someone else to open up the floor. I mean, who was their third scorer last year? I mean, I guess you want to say Kelly Oubre. Like, it's not going to be a championship team when you have a guy like Kelly Oubre as your third option. So I think PG is just a perfect complementary piece. Again, like I said, he doesn't have to be ball dominant. Just space up, space.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Has enough space on the court just to have Joel Embiid open the paint, Tyrese Maxey still get his and run the offense. So I'm really into Philly for sure.
I for one, was shocked they didn't win with Tobias Harris as their third scorer. I don't understand what went wrong there, Sam. Absolutely shocking on so many levels there. But hey, the NBA never sleeps, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk some NBA free agency. Enjoy your 4th of July, Sam. We appreciate the time. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we are off and running here as the first wave of games in Major League Baseball here tonight are there. Right now, the Marlins and the Red Sox, top of the first. We've got a nothing-nothing score in this one. Really did like the over in this one here as the Red Sox routed the Marlins last night 8-3. And when you look at these two pitchers going at it here tonight, Miami sending the lefty Trevor Rogers there, who is, I'll give him credit. This was, he had become one of those automatic fade pitchers in baseball, much like Patrick Corbin has been over the last couple of seasons, where when you see his name in the box score, you're like, oh boy, look, we got to figure out a way to be able to fade them. He's been actually pretty consistent over the last four starts. But having said that, how sustainable is that? And the answer is, I don't think very much. And I can tell you, Boston's, Bello, not very good either. I mean, he had a couple of outings here in June. The last three outings that he had in June, granted, they were all against American League East teams that can usually hit the ball, and the Marlins lineup is not that. But this had absolutely no issue getting over 8 last night. I don't think we're going to have an issue getting over with these two pitchers here tonight. I do think the Marlins will have some success against Bello and have an opportunity to put some runs on. And quite honestly, how many runs do we really need to be able to get from them? And the answer is probably not a whole lot. And I'll tell you this, too, when it comes to the Marlins, keep this in mind. The Marlins at home are on a quiet 29-14 clip to the over. So they may not be hitting the ball all that well, but the teams that they play certainly don't have an issue going up and over. And I think that's probably not a bad way to look at this game, provided you don't get any runs in this first inning. I would certainly look to see if you can't get yourself a 7.5 or maybe even a 7 when it's all said and done, as this game is heading to the bottom of the first. You got to love in-game betting there like that. We do have also the, we talked about it earlier with Fetty on the mound for the White Sox taking on the Guardians. Gavin Williams back for the Guardians in his first appearance this year, which has got to be good news for them. They've got to be ecstatic to be able to get another arm in that rotation, and they are going to need it. They've got a lights-out bullpen. They've got some great hitting, but more importantly, they have a lock. They got some questions there. You can't be rolling Carrasco out every 4 or 5 days and think that's going to work out well. But this would be a great addition to them. Not to mention, I do think they will be active at the trade deadline here, July 30th. So what are we now, 27 days away? So we've got a few more weeks here before it's put up or shut up time for some of these teams in Major League Baseball to make a decision about, are they pushing their chips in or are they not? Teams like Baltimore. Teams like Seattle, teams like the Guardians, the Texas Rangers, they certainly last year pushed all in when it came to the trade deadline. And pretty much over the last couple of years, that new ownership group has pretty much said, we're going to write the checks and we're going to hope that this all works out in the end. And you can make the argument that, yeah, that was a lot of money, even though a lot of that money went to two guys that weren't a part of anything last year for him in DeGrom there and Scherzer when it mattered the most. But it's they invested, they spent money, they got it done. Teams like Baltimore and Seattle over the last couple of years at the trade deadline, when they were clearly an opportunity for them to get the team better. And as long as the front office and ownership wanted to invest, and both Baltimore and Seattle are notorious for going, nah, we're good. We think we have the best team. And well, we're going to see what happens here, because I do think there is going to be an opportunity for a number of teams coming up here at the end of the month. They are underway, Cardinals and the Pirates in this one here tonight, with the Cardinals trying to make up some of the difference here. They have just been terrible to start the year, and it didn't make any sense given the amount of firepower they have in that lineup and the idea that they were only hitting .211 as a team for a very long stretch. The idea that they couldn't score enough run, and yet they were still getting some decent pitching. And I can tell you this about Cardinal fans. They are not used to being as mediocre as it comes, and that's pretty much what they are right now. At 44-40, the Cardinals are about as mediocre as they've been in a very long time. And guess what? When the Pirates here are just a couple of games separating you, that's a pretty scary proposition if you are the Cardinals organization. However, they certainly have an opportunity, I think, in a very winnable division coming up here in the National League Central to make a run. I think this game tonight, I think this series this weekend is very important, and I think they need to get a bunch of wins here before the All-Star break next week and give themselves a chance in the second half to catch the Milwaukee Brewers. I think the Mets are also learning a little something about themselves here. And what is Cohen going to do? What is the ownership group going to do here with the New York Mets now? It seemed a month ago, before we got to June, the Mets were going to be clear sellers. It was fire sale, push the button, restart it. And yet, now all of a sudden, the way they're playing, the way they're hitting, they've gotten themselves one game over 500. They are clearly mediocre enough to be considered a wild card threat. So what are the Mets going to do? Well, they got to win again tonight. They're off and running in Washington. It's nothing in that one. We're going to keep you posted on all of these early games, and we'll get you updated here as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday now, July 3rd. Certainly want to wish you and yours a very happy and safe 4th of July, as there's a lot going on this time of year. We're just coming out of a crazy NBA last couple of days here in free agency. There are a lot of fans around this country looking to buy new jerseys with new names on them, or maybe burn some of their favorite players who are no longer with the team. And there are a whole lot of big names that are switching uniforms here. It's going to be a little weird, call me crazy, to see some of these guys in different uniforms coming up. Klay Thompson in a Mavericks jersey is a little bit weird, if you ask me. Paul George, it feels like this is his ninth team anyway, so that shouldn't shock anybody. But we still don't know where DeMar DeRozan is going to land. We still don't know where Lauri Markkanen is going to land here. So we've got a lot still up in the air in the NBA. But before all of that craziness, we also have Wimbledon going on right now. And we watched last year as Carlos Alcaraz won his second title at the All England Club. And of course, in doing that, he denied Novak there at a shot at a possible Grand Slam. And an eighth Wimbledon title that would have tied him with Roger Federer. So you've got Skinner up at the top here of the board for odds as far as being the favorite, but you got Alcaraz there right underneath that, very chalky and top heavy. You got Novak right in there at plus 250, and it just feels like this is those three guys at the top of the board are going to be battling one another over the next couple of weeks until they crown a champion. Although Novak had himself maybe the best of the draw, because it looks like Alcaraz and Skinner are going to have to, they're coming out of the same side of the bracket. So Novak could very well be in contention to get an eighth Wimbledon title, which would tie him with Roger Federer for the most men's women Wimbledon titles of all time, which is kind of crazy when you think of that. On the women's side, of course, Coco Gauff seems to be everybody's favorite here, although she is certainly going to have, I think, some competition here. Last year's winner was already bounced, in fact, the underdog. I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, but she was already bounced out here. But Coco Gauff is at the top of everyone's list. It's a little chalky, but certainly she has all the tools and is at a point in her career where maybe now might be the time to get it done. So you've got Wimbledon going on. We've got a PGA Tour event, and everyone loves the John Deere Classic, and that is coming up also beginning tomorrow. And we are going to talk to our good friend Brady Cannon coming up next hour here and get his thoughts on who he thinks we should be looking at the top of that leaderboard here. 156 golfers to choose from this week at the TPC Deer Run. This could also be one of those tournaments in which maybe a 40, 50, 60 to one shot could very well cash that ticket, which would be an awful lot of fun. And then, of course, you've got plenty of Major League Baseball heading into this weekend. And we've got a couple of scores already. That didn't take long. The White Sox out in front already on the Guardians, 1-0 in that one. And we just watched, I believe, the Red Sox and Bello give up a run here in the bottom of the first. They are down 1-0. The Marlins already have 3 hits. So all of that happening there in the bottom of the first inning off of Bello, which I just don't trust. I really do like that over in that game. Trevor Rogers on the mound, he in the top of the second. He went 1-2-3 in the top of the first. So we'll see if the Red Sox bats can finally get it going there. Pirates and the Cardinals, 0-0 top of the second. And, of course, we've got the Mets and the Nationals. They, too, are underway at the end of one. So no score, no hits, no nothing in that one. And coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we've got another hour of Game Time Decisions, and we've got first pitch coming with the Reds and the Yankees. Also, the Astros and the Blue Jays are going at it. We'll talk about those games when we get back. Another hour of Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.